Welcome back to Would You Gaming. Well, 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 here we are again discussing two games today, one of which is a game that started out the whole of this podcast altogether. A game which I was excited for and understandably upset about the state of at launch. A game developed by a AAA dev team that had more goodwill than arguably any other developer at the time, way back at the tail end of December in the year of our Lord 2020, I discussed CDPR's highly anticipated Cyberpunk 2077 and how it launched with a litany of bugs and glitches, how on past gens it was all but unplayable, even on high-end PCs there seemed to be issues at times. I wanted to discuss that with you guys as well as another game that I played through and give my thoughts on those two today. Sorry for the long delay in between recordings and episodes. Been meaning to come back. I've been a little bit sick getting over a head cold, but thankfully I'm back now, so I want to jump right into things. If you haven't already, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. We're pretty active on all of those platforms, so check us out there. Give us a follow if you have not already, but diving right into things. There were a handful of people back then, such as my friend Josh, who played on the PS5 at the time and had no issues with Cyberpunk 2077. The experience was really negative for most people. I myself tried to play on the PS4 Pro mid-2021 after many patches, and it was still noticeably broken. I had pop-ins. There was a scene in particular that was pre-scripted at the beginning of the game before you even see the credits where a car and vehicle just popped in. I was sitting there at a traffic light in a riding as a passenger, and all of a sudden this whole scene just popped in front of me. It was quite jarring. I'd see pop-ins, graphical glitches, and it was just not a good time for me or for most people, honestly. If we fast forward to 2023, we've seen many patches, including one to upgrade the game to the next-gen hardware. Prior to this, we were only able to play on the PS4 and last-gen Xbox versions of this unless you had a high-end PC or a PC to play on. It's easy to see that this game has had a lot of work put in it. Even though it's paid DLC, the opposite of what we were told at the game's launch. But given the years of work put into the title, that can easily be overlooked, in my opinion at least. I finally sat down a while ago. It really gave Cyberpunk 2077 a proper chance. I started over completely, having little to no time invested, making an easy decision. I didn't even make it to the title screen in the first run. It was kind of crazy. I get motion blur sometimes when I play first-person games, and it just did that for me. So after about an hour of playing, I was incredibly dizzy noticeably, and it's just not what you want to have happen in one of these games if you're going to be sitting there for prolonged periods of time enjoying that. I've sat down over the course of, I've said, the past couple weekends and proceeded to stay up late nights and play way longer than anyone should, only taking breaks to eat and do the casual adulting. Do the usual adulting stuff. Now, I was excited for the game when it was announced, but I was never super into it or just hooked on the idea of the game itself or the premise. That all changed when I started playing the title with an excitement and fervor I've not felt in some time. It compelled me to do just one more mission, keeping me up into the wee hours of the morning. I will be the first to tell you it is like night and day compared to the previous version of this game. For the most part, the game is stable, but with a game of this size and scope, you're inevitably going to have some glitches. We all love Skyrim. Heck, I've bought it at least 3 or 4 times at this point. I will probably buy it a couple more before it's all said and done. But if you play that game, you know there are a lot of bugs and glitches in that game, as with any Bethesda or very large title and just in general. The major game-breaking bugs and jarring glitches I experienced way back seem to be nowhere to be seen, though. And thank God the motion blur seems to be absent, preventing me from getting sick despite playing for long periods of time, as I said. I've run into a couple crashes and more than a handful of visual glitches, ranging from okay, that's interesting, to outright hilarious. I summoned my car once and it showed up inside of another vehicle on the street. That other vehicle was beat all to heck, and so was mine. The other car exploded. It was strange, to say the least. It was enough to make me laugh for a couple minutes and not in any way game-breaking. I tend to forgive these flaws due to the scope of the game, as I've said, in the engrossing world that I love getting lost in. It took me over 12 hours to get to the title screen and for the world of Night City to truly open up. That is probably due to me roaming hither to and fro, doing just random things out there. The city is sprawling, and I enjoy exploring the areas as I track down a litany of different objectives, ranging from the tarot cards to gigs that are available in every area. I've sank around 30 hours into the game at this point, and am nowhere near completing the main story, much less starting the DLC that dropped a couple months ago. My weapon of choice has been the katana, but I'm using different weapons as well to level up the different skills that grant different perks. When I get leveled up a bit, I'm going to try my hand with throwing knives, as they are so much fun to use as well. You can become super OP after you level up a bit, and simply doing things like reflecting bullets with your katana are oh so satisfying to do. I do not know why it took me so long to give the game an honest go. Maybe the glitches were off-putting. I know at one point I was waiting on it to be all patched up, and glad I waited until this point. I'm playing the game as it was intended, feeling like a futuristic assassin who air dashes around like a madman. There are no words to express how satisfying it can be to move like that and take your enemies out with such ease. The game is not perfect, but its story, gameplay, characters, and environment are compelling enough to make me want to at least finish the game in DLC, if not more than that. It engrosses you in this world despite all the bangers we've seen drop this year. It holds my attention as much, if not as much, than titles such as Tears of the Kingdom or Final Fantasy XVI. I look forward to putting many more hours into the title and unlocking even more broken perks in the skill trees that lie ahead. Now, I've got to add to this, since writing this script, preparing to record and everything, I checked online and there's a patch coming in like a week or so. So we're getting even more so content for the game. They continue to support it. This patch is free. It'll add new ways to play the game. So I think CDPR's title, Cyberpunk 2077, is a no-brainer at this point. They are releasing a complete edition at some point in the future. Now, the PS5 version will not have everything on disc. You'll get a voucher for the DLC. But if they got all the patches and everything on it, I think that's a good thing as well. Moving on to the second title I wanted to discuss today. A title that I wasn't really overly excited about to begin with. I know Twitter was hyped to no end about this. I've seen people raving about it on Twitter. And of course, I am talking about Final Fantasy XVI. Myself, of course, not owning a PS5 around the time of the launch, I had no intention of playing this anytime soon. I wasn't overly excited. My friend Philip had bought it and completed the title, and about a month or so passed, and I finally came up in the world getting my own PS5. Being the good friend he is, he loaned me Final Fantasy XVI. My first couple of hours with the title seemed like a slog. It was interesting enough, but the story was a bit convoluted. I was lost at times, and that could be just due to my ADD, a long cutscene. It felt like watching a movie at times, you know, so I'm ADD, I might be zoned out over here. Oh, I'm looking at something else and lost part of the plot. It was like watching a long TV show or movie at times, and a lot of the cutscenes were extended. Some of them very over the top. Those kept my attention a bit more. Somewhere along the way after the game opened up, something clicked with me, and the game really became much more enjoyable. I grew attached to the characters from Clive, Jill, Sid, Joshua, or Torgal. It was easy to find something to like about most of the main cast. It is much different than many Final Fantasy games of the past, but it's not necessarily a bad thing in my opinion. Games need to evolve past the same combat systems that we've worked with over the past 11 games. Yes, you can successfully follow the same blueprint, but things can get stale eventually if you don't innovate or change things up. The story can take some time to pick up and get to the meat and potatoes of what is actually going on with the world of Valisthea, but is well worth the wait. I found the story to be well thought out and interesting enough to follow. There is a blight slowly creeping to take over the land. Wars wage over the controls of the crystal supply that is dwindling, what gives everybody who is not a natural bearer the ability to use magic, and dominance are used to gain an edge in wars. The dominance, of course, being the individuals who are vessels for the summons. Eventually, you'll be on your way to make the world a better place for innocent inhabitants with many twists and turns along the way. Dominants are the most interesting characters in this, being the vessels for the summon themselves. Your fights with Dominants over the top, flashy, and very entertaining to watch unfold. These stand out above all other fights in the games, and you simply have to experience them to understand what I mean. They are giant set pieces that are larger than life, and are there to show you how over the top that the summons are. Combat in the game is real-time action combat with special moves that are tied to a cooldown, similar to something like Devil May Cry, which makes sense. I believe somebody who was over the project was tied to older Devil May Cry projects. The cooldown of moves can be decreased by using accessories that are tied to that skill. It can be quite fun to be meleeing an enemy and cycle through each of your special abilities to finish off the group. Each of the moves that you can use be tied to a specific summon. My favorite to use were Phoenix, Titan, and Bahamut. I believe they did a good job of making each skill tree feel different enough. The Phoenix, for instance, is tied to a dash when you use the circle button. Titan has a block tied to this, and Bahamut has a area of effect attack that charges up when you hit that, and then it goes off when you hit the circle button again. There's not a ton of challenging fights within this game, with some of the late game fights offering a bit more difficulty. The only real challenges I was able to find in the game were doing the hunts, some of which were a lot of fun to do and rewarded you handsomely. They weren't immediately available once the game opens up towards the middle, and especially at the end of the game, there is plenty to take on. The hunts are the highlight for me, for sure. Finally, the score for this game is freaking phenomenal, man. The battle theme itself is pretty catchy, but the boss fight theme, No Risk, No Reward, is a masterpiece, hands down. I will go down the road regularly, and I'll have it playing on YouTube or something just because it is that good and that catchy, and it is that hype. A good game can be made 100 times better by having a great score, and that can easily be said about Final Fantasy 16. It is a long game that feels like a movie at times, but I would highly recommend it to anyone who thinks it looks interesting or has looked at any gameplay and said, hey, that I might want to play that. I just wanted to take this opportunity to sit down with you guys and get my thoughts on these couple of games that I've been able to play through. I've played through a lot more than this, but time has been limited with everything going on as far as game releases this year. It just feels like I'm playing a game, about a month later something new comes out, and then here we are off to the same cycle again. I'm sure that if I would have had a high-speed internet connection, a lot of my time this year would have been consumed with Baldur's Gate 3, because apparently that's the game of the year at this point. It's kind of just a known fact that Baldur's Gate is blowing away the competition. Larian has done big things. I hope to pick that up at some point next year and play through it. But in the meantime, I don't think I have any shortage of games to play through, because I'm sitting here looking now. There's at least 3 or 4 games on my stack over here that I've got to get through. Jedi Survivor, I need to finish Tales of Arise and its DLC. I've got stuff on the Switch to get back to. Man, it's been an excellent year for gaming, and I, for one, am extremely excited about all this. But anyways, wanted to sit down with you guys, just get my thoughts on this, let you know what I thought about these two games in particular. There's a lot more that I've played that I need to discuss. Spider-Man was pretty good. Need to go through and sit down and record some of that. Hopefully, time permitting, I'm able to write up a script for it and do so in the near future, and we can have this discussion again. As always, let me know what you think about this. Do you think these titles are worth it? Have you played Cyberpunk 2077 or Final Fantasy 16? What do you think about these titles? Are they good? Are they subpar in your opinion? To me, they're very high up on the list, and I would highly recommend. But anyways, you guys enjoy, and peace.